Don't start yet.
Okay. I'm sure we're all ready.
This.
Okay,
and I did pass this out. Many of you were asking about it. And this, John Paul Jackson is in the process right now of writing some books on dreams. He has never gotten the dream interpretation in book form yet. And one of his main reasons behind it is because he wants us to be wholly dependent upon the Holy Spirit and not on a manual, not on a book. And even with the elements, I know Linda's going to cover that, but there's so many categories and everything about the elements of what interpretation is. But Ms. Paul says nothing is always. So if you had a dream and the lion was God in one dream, well, you know what? The lion may be the enemy in another dream because the scripture has the lion being both. So you just have to look at context. So and usually there's a positive and a negative of every feature. So you have to determine, is this a positive or is it a negative? Like for the colors, it can be a positive and a negative. So you did get this, and so this is hot. Like I say, it's hot off the press. He just came up with this summer, and I happened to be there when he was presenting it, and I just thought, wow. So, but I believe it will come out when he finally gets his books in print, and he's working on that right now. So there will be. Okay, next. Dreams transcend seven dimensions. Okay, dreams and visions allow us to be in two or more dimensions simultaneously. The dimensions height, spirit, depth, time, breath, light, and soul. We can travel to the past or we can travel to the future. We can transcend age. You can be at your current age and go to your childhood home. We may even find ourselves looking through somebody else's eyes, as if we were viewing things from inside him or her. And Paul kind of gave an example of that. I had a dream like that once, and it really bothered me. I just had no idea what it was, but it was regarding a church. And I knew that this church was actually building a building, but I hadn't seen the building, and it was in construction. And the pastor and his wife were actually walking around on the top floor. But for some reason, I could see through the eyes of the serpent, which really bothered me, the foundation. And what do you do with a dream like that? Well, it turns out 6 months later, who this pastor would call his spiritual father, there was a falling. And so I really felt like that dream was showing me that there was a real serious something in the foundation, which I didn't know at the time, but it did confirm it. And I'm telling you, seeing through the enemy's eyes, that's not something I wanted to see at all, because I'm like, what happened? You know, but that was actually one of my dreams. So I think you can actually see the plans of the enemy, and even through the enemy's eyes, you know, if you're interceding for a church or pastor or whatever, you can actually see things like that. So that was interesting. Okay, dreams move us about intradimensionally and seem to change matter into energy and turn chaos into order. You can have spiritual warfare dreams where you're fighting and battling, and then all of a sudden, you know, the victory is won. So that's really exciting. We'll get into colors too, but the color may even change in the dream. The color may be like a muted color, and then all of a sudden it's a bright color. So that could happen in a spiritual warfare dream where you know there's victory. God can point out when you need to correct and bring yourself into alignment. That's what most dreams do. They'll show us reveal our issues. And this is a very good way to be corrected, actually, because it's between you and God. It's a much easier way to be corrected. Like I say, John Paul Jackson says, this is my favorite way of being corrected. You know, so, I mean, it is. If you listen to your dream, because God's speaking to you, and if you respond to your dreams, see, that's a key. You know, many were asking, you know, I don't get many dreams. Well, when you do value your dreams and when you respond to your dreams, and especially if God's speaking to you and you know, this is an issue in my life, and you, you know, repent from that issue, And so you are changed by God through the dream. So when that happens, God's going to give you more dreams. So we need to have a response too. Okay, and we did say interpretations are from God. In Genesis 48, then they said to him, "We have had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to me, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit for interpretation. It's more than just having the necessary tools. You know, if we think, oh, I've got a dictionary, that's going to help me. But it's really the Holy Spirit that's going to help you. There are no pat answers. There's no fixed rules for dream interpretation. God will not remove our need for the Holy Spirit. We can have revelatory gifting, but we need skill in dream interpretation. Without study, one is only correct as well as he or she hears from God. So it's good to have to come and even study, you know, interpretation and metaphorical speaking, because it develops our accuracy. So for more accuracy, we can combine the mechanics of dream interpretation and the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. Okay, God may give interpretation by one of these four ways. He can instantaneously reveal a dream's meaning through an angel. This happened to Daniel in Daniel 7. I had a dream like this once, and you probably have too. I just remember seeing something, and actually it was about another pastor. And I'm like, "What was that, Lord?" I mean, it's like, whoa, I didn't even want to, you know. And instantly, an angel came and explained to me what it was. And it was like, whoa, that's a Babylonian spirit. Well, at the time, I'm like, what is a Babylonian spirit? You know, I know it's in Revelation, but it's like, okay, I have to go research and do all of this stuff. So it does, again, it's the lover's game. You know, God's calling me. But because I'm an intercessor, you know, God gives me this so I can pray for people. It's not so I'm going to go and bop somebody over the head. It's just to pray, that's all. You know, so that might be, you know, why one reason God is giving you a dream. One of the categories is intercession. That's a lot of my dreams, you know, would be intercession dreams. And it could be a dream to reveal the plans of an enemy. And soul dreams, we can flip them. We can actually flip them and not dwell on the negative, but say, okay, if this is what the enemy wants to do, what does God want to do? You know, so we can do that with our own dreams and when we're interpreting someone else's dream. I remember a few years ago I had a very negative dream about my daughter. And I dreamt that, anyway, I don't even want to say what I dreamt. I mean, it was so negative, it's like, I don't even want to say it. But I knew that it was from the enemy, and so I immediately didn't want to focus on, it was about her dying. Like, who wants to focus on that? It's like, that might have been the enemy's plans, but it was not God's plans. So you reverse it, you know, you say, I'm not going to focus on that, I'm going to pray life into my daughter, and now she's like, whoa, really walking with God. So the enemy had a different plan, but God's going to have his way, and we just need to recognize that. Okay, number two. God may choose to give us the interpretation by simultaneously speaking the dream's interpretation to us as we sleep. You probably have had that happen before, too. And number three, by the process of writing it down. And we're going to talk a little bit about recording today, how we can record, not just linearly, but to do things quick and easy. And when we write it down, as in 1 Chronicles 28:19, "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern." We can sometimes understand just through the process of writing it down and figuring it out. Okay, and then number four, God can unfold a dream's meaning as we mature in understanding his ways. In Proverbs 25:2, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter." So God does like it when we search matters out. God will hide things. God may hide things from us until an appropriate time, until it's the appropriate time for us to find out. God places great value on our searching for the things he conceals. It's God's love language, so we will choose to spend time with him. Often we learn as much, if not more, in the discovery process of interpreting a dream as we do it simply obtaining the dream's answer itself. Okay. Interpretation principles. Number one, ask God. We have to ask God for understanding. Number two, study the parables of Jesus. Matthew has a lot of parables of Jesus. So study the parables of Jesus. View dreams the same way as parables. Refer to scripture. Develop a dream vocabulary. Note colloquial expressions, idioms, and puns. Like Barbara had heel, you know, H-E-A-L and H-E-E-L. So that's a pun. The Lord may give you something like that, like court, you know, with Lou Engle. Serving, you know, with me. I play tennis, so I've had dreams of serving, and then I realize, oh, serving in the body. You know, it's not about serving on the tennis court. It's about serving in the body. Okay, so there'll be puns. Okay, ask God what the symbol means to you. Make a note of your feelings in the dream. And this is not an always thing. You may feel very uncomfortable in the dream, but yet it could be a positive outcome. For example, naked dreams or partially clothed dreams. I have those. And they just feel awful, I'm telling you. To me, they're negative, you know. But then when you look at it, that's talking about transparency, you know. So that's really not a negative quality. So even though it felt awful in the dream, it's not a negative dream. You know, it's actually a positive dream. So, okay. But it is good to make a note of your feelings, especially about a character. You know, if there's a person in the dream and you just don't like that person, you know, there could be reasons for that. It could be a demonic figure or something. Get counsel from gifted interpreters, not necessarily friends, because friends know you. But it's good to get people that are studying, like today, you know, you all are studying. So it's good to ask people that are studying dream interpretation. Okay, basic types and symbols. Types can be a shape, a style, a resemblance of what is to come. This is Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transition of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. So the Bible uses types. Symbols. A symbol is something that represents someone or something. In 1 Corinthians 10, 11:10, it talks about a head covering be a symbol of authority. Okay, a pattern is the exact way something should be done. Exodus 25:9 talks about the pattern of the tabernacle. Yeah. Shadow is to prefigure that which is to come. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Colossians 2:16-17. Sign is a signal, evidence of that which is coming, earthly oriented. Genesis 9:17, and God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. A wonder is a conspicuous miracle that validates what's coming. It's heavenly oriented. I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. In Acts 2:19, it talks about blood and fire and vapor of smoke. That's all in Acts 2:19. And then parable. We've talked about parables. Parables are a fictitious narrative that illustrates a parallel truth. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Matthew 13:13. So that's that parabolic language that we were talking about, which is speaking in metaphors. Okay, metaphors and similes, they're very, very similar. similes are making a comparison using like or as. And a metaphor is making a comparison without using like or as. So if you look, one of my favorite passages to look at is in Revelation 1, where it gives a description of Jesus. But if you just look at that, I mean, you can underline, like in my Bible, I underline all the likes, all the as, but it's a description of Jesus. And then there is also some metaphors. Now, metaphor would be just making the comparison without like or as. So, for example, we could say, she runs as fast as a deer. Okay, that's a simile. But we could say, she is a deer. That's a metaphor. So it's just making the comparison without using like or as. For practice, you might go to Revelation 1, you know, or even in your Psalms. But Revelation 1 is one of my favorite passages about the description of Jesus. And just look at all the description of Jesus, and you see there's a lot of similes and metaphors. And, of course, most of that is literal, too, you know, because it's talking about who Jesus really is. But it's in picture language as well. Okay, in Mark 13 to 20, Jesus had just performed a miracle of feeding of the 4,000 this time. And Jesus said, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees." Okay, the disciples said to that, "Oh, we forgot bread. He's talking about bread." But Jesus wasn't talking about bread. Jesus was saying, "Watch out for the teaching of the Pharisees, because it causes pride and hypocrisy." So he turns to the disciples. Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Have your hearts hardened?" So again, it's that hardness of heart issue. We don't want to have hard hearts by thinking only in the natural, but Jesus wants us to think in the spiritual as well. And so when he says, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees," you know, what does that really mean? It's not talking about bread. Okay, spheres of dreams. Okay, when you do dream or when you're listening to someone's dreams, there's two kinds of dreams, generally speaking. And one is what we call intrinsic dreams. And these are dreams that deal with heart issues and with our relationship or lack of a relationship with God. So it may be the person's not even a Christian, and the dreams will reveal issues. Heart issues pertain to matters of our soul. They're personal longings, opinions, and emotions. This is the majority of dreams. In fact, Streams teaches it's probably about 90% of dreams. And I know that there's some people that are exceptions to that rule, especially intercessors or people that pray for people. You know, they will have a lot of dreams about other people that aren't themselves. And they just are what they call observers. So you can ask, you know, when you have the dream, okay, am I in the dream? Am I participating in the dream? Or am I just observing the dream? And if you're just observing, then that's what we call an extrinsic dreams. Dreams that focus on something or someone other than ourselves. And this is probably only about 5% of most people's dreams. The greater our intimacy with the Lord, the more extrinsic dreams we have. And we have the example of Pharaoh's dreams. He's dreaming about the 7 fat cows and the 7 skinny cows. And that was an extrinsic dream where God is revealing, you know, what's going to happen to the future there in Egypt. So I know Barbara has extrinsic dreams. And many of you have extrinsic dreams that you can think of? Yeah. Especially if you're praying, you know, for a church or, you know, for someone you're ministering to. If you're praying for the person, I think that's when you get more of these extrinsic dreams. Okay. Intuitive dream recording. Now, when most people, you think, "Oh my gosh, I got to write this down," and you've just had this incredible dream, and you're coming out of your sleep, and you've been in a multi-dimensional place, and all of a sudden now you've got to write down in two dimensions what just happened. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to just linearly write. So there are other ways of doing it. And one thing I would say is think of it more like your brain, like you're brainstorming. Forget the grammar, the sentences, the paragraph. And I can be, being an English teacher at first, I thought, oh my gosh, I got to have all of the commas in the right place. And, you know, when God's talking to you, sometimes it can be so fast, you don't have time to write a period down. You don't even know where the end of the sentence is going to be. So it's like, okay, forget that. I can't be, you know, anal about my, you know, grammar, okay? throw that one out of the window. Another way of recording, which, you know, I thought we could maybe try it, but maybe later or something, is clustering. And clustering is a, you know, those that have done brainstorming, it's a way of just putting circles, you know, and you could, it releases right brain thinking. You know, we're so programmed in the left brain. You know, when we write, that's left brain. So to move over to the right brain, we can do things like clustering. For me, that's easy because I'm not an artist. And, you know, if you're an artist like Jana, you can do all kinds of beautiful things and just draw a picture, and that would be wonderful. But I would be doing it in stick figures. So, and actually, I prefer clustering. So you may have your own method of interpretation that works for you. Yes. Well, let me show you. Okay. Hopefully we'll get a chance to do it later, some of it later. In fact, I had a couple of dreams that I was going to try later. But it would be, it's also called mapping, but you would put in the middle, like the focus you would put in the middle. Usually the focus is going to be the dreamer, so I put a D in the middle. And then you would put branches off to the side, you know, like there was a house, you know, and there could be people in the house. Let's see. Okay, I'm thinking of a, let me get my other, should I do, do you want to do this now, or should we do it later? Okay, we'll do it later. So, but this is basically how you do it in circles. So you're just thinking of the elements, like the focus, we're going to talk about focus, we're going to talk about subfocuses. So you would put the elements down, and then it's an easy, quick, fast way of recording something so you can just look at it and you'll remember. So it's just fast. It's faster than trying to write things out linearly. There's a couple other ways to, but actually I'm not going to go into all of that. You can diagram, you can do these spiral recordings and intuitive recordings. I don't really have a picture of that, so it's going to be hard for you to understand, but we're going to try this actually later. Okay, remembering dreams. And, you know, a lot of you are saying, well, I know I dream, but I don't remember. So what things that will help you... one thing is pray before you go to sleep. You know, Lord, I want to hear from you. Just open up my, cleanse the whole imagination center, you know, from anything that's not from you. Just cleanse that imagination center, and I just want to hear from you, Holy Spirit. So, dreams and images are written in our minds with disappearing ink. If we don't re-experience them immediately, dreams become invisible, so we can very quickly just lose it, you know. So I try to wake up slowly. This is hard because I know sometimes, you know, you're like, okay, I got an alarm clock, I got to go to work, you know. And it's, you just come out of the dream and it's like, boom, it's gone. You know, so I really try to wake up slowly now. I tell my husband, don't wake me up really fast, you know, because it's like gone, it's gone. You know, so I just want to wake up slowly. And try to capture what they call the twilight time. The twilight time is the time that you're just going to sleep and the time you're just waking up. And this is the time that our spirits commune with the Holy Spirit. And John Paul Jackson says he gets like 90% of his revelation at the twilight time. Okay, so that's a lot. It's quite a bit, you know. And I usually, because I, like I say, I commit my spirit to God's spirit, you know, when I'm sleeping, I know I'm just doing things at night. And then I'll wake up and I'm praying a prayer and it's like, I don't even know what that was about. But there was something going on. So, and if I can capture it, just write it down. It was a truth, you know, it's a truth that was going on. That's words of knowledge. That's a good time to write down words of knowledge, is right at that twilight time. Ask the Holy Spirit to wake you up before your alarm clock does. Set your alarm clock at the absolute latest time that you have to get up. And usually the Holy Spirit will wake you up before then and give you time to meditate. You know, ask the Lord to help you remember. Okay, let's go over this dream, Lord. Immediately go over the dream with God and just write down in any form that is good for you. You can do the clustering method, which we'll talk about later, and or linearly, okay? Interpretation. Okay, when you're interpreting, you've got to decide who you are in the dream. Are you the observer? Are you the participant? So ask, what part do you have in the dream? You may be the main focus in a dream. You know, that's the majority of our dreams. The dreamer is the main focus in the dream. Okay, note the colors. Now, nothing is always. So we're all going to be different, and God's going to speak to you in your own dream language. But generally speaking, bright colors are from God. So if you have a dream with a lot of color, you know it's a spirit dream, because God is the Father of lights. Okay, the enemy cannot counterfeit, so he's not able to produce the colors that God is. So like I was saying, even in a warfare dream, the colors might change from a muted color to all of a sudden bright colors after the battle's won. Okay, nothing is always, though, because I know we've got some exceptions here. You know, this is Miss Colorful Lady, and then this one's not. So, but no, I mean, you don't dream in color, but yet we know Paul gets tons of revelation, and it's always accurate. So, you know, so think, oh no, yeah. So black and white can be just as valid. So don't discount your dreams because you're not doing it this way. Okay. Okay, reduce the dream to its simplest form. Okay, some of you, Miss Epic Dreamer over here, some of you, especially Christian, I mean, and then this other one over there, she has these epic dreams as well, and they go on and on and on and on. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, after taking 4 pages of notes, you know, it's like, okay, what's the point here? So we want to reduce the dream to the simplest form. Keep the main thing the main thing. Look at the context of the dream. You know, and the context may be there is a person in that dream, and what does that person do? It's only for context. You know, I recently had a dream about Lori, and I know that she was in the dream for context because it was about something. Anyway, we were swimming in the river, man. We were having the best time. And we were swimming upstream in the river, and it was a fun dream. So, the person will be context. It may be a person in your church, you know, so you know, okay, this dream's about my church. It may be a person at work, so this dream's about work. Maybe a person in your family, so this dream's about my family. So that person will give context to the dream. Determine the attitudes and agendas of those in the dream. And that could be, you know, how you feel about the person, you know, if there's a certain agenda you feel the person has, you know, you might note that. It might be from the dark side. Recognize what God presently is dealing with in your life. This may be your own issues. God might be showing you, you know, you have an issue with your father. Deal with it. And so that could be what the dream is about. Okay, and then learn to title your dreams. After you take the notes or the brainstorming, just title the dream, and also note the tone of the dream, if it's a positive or negative. But like I say, that's not always, because you may, you know, have a naked dream and you feel absolutely horrible, but it may actually turn out to be positive. Okay, next, establish the focus and the subfocus. Okay, the focus is who or what the dream is about. Ask, who is the dream about? What's the center of attention? If you can remove an element and the element falls apart, that was the focus. Okay. So usually, the majority of dreams people have, usually the dreamer is the focus. But if you're dreaming about a church situation or somebody you're going to pray for or you are praying for, then that person can be the focus. And you may not even be in the dream at all. You're just watching. And I had a dream about that recently. I couldn't do anything in the dream. It's like I wanted to comfort this person, but it's like I couldn't, you know, because I was just watching. But the Lord showed me I'm just to be praying for that person. Okay. Subfocuses are the elements in a dream that are necessary to find the theme, the plot of the dream, and to make it have meaning. Ask, would this dream be the same without this element? What did the particular element add to the whole of the dream? Okay, interpretation basics. Okay, learn to enter the dream. And even when somebody's telling you a dream, I try to enter the dream. We can do that. And then note things like, is the dreamer participant or observer? Note the colors, find the focus, the subfocus. Think metaphorically. Okay, and usually there's going to be a key metaphor. And the metaphor may be interpreted one of two ways. For example, like a woman may have a dream about her husband. And, you know, the husband, if she's a, you know, believer, may represent the bride of Christ. Okay, so you need to determine, is the husband in the dream her real husband or is it Jesus? You know, the same about, you know, a father. You know, I recently had a husband dream and a father dream. The father was doing things that my real father wouldn't do. He was teaching people how to swim. So I felt like it was Father God that was teaching how to swim. And actually, these were elderly people. He was teaching them how to swim. So it was interesting. That might be a key metaphor, and you've got to determine it. And when we're doing dream interpretation, you may be honest. Okay, it's either one of two ways. You know, we go this way, let's see what happens. And then if it doesn't work, then okay, let's come back and go try this metaphor. And then you might hit it. You might hit it. And always ask the dreamer, how does that set with you? You know, how does that resonate with your spirit? If it's not on, I mean, you will know it. I've had people interpret my dreams, and I know the husband was Jesus, not my real husband. And it's like, oh, he missed it. You know, that wasn't it at all, you know. But if you know in your spirit that was Jesus was telling me to do this, it wasn't my real husband telling me to do this, so it was my, you know, my bridegroom, then you've got the right metaphor. Okay, look for contrast. Why this and not that? Why am I riding a bicycle and not driving a car? You know, vehicles usually talk about ministries, and maybe you're in a smaller ministry, so you're riding a bicycle in a dream. I've had a lot of bicycle dreams, you know, and then there's car dreams, you know, it's a bigger ministry. Then there's bus dreams, you know, and then there's airplane dreams, you know, so the bigger the vehicle, the bigger the ministry. So that's interesting. Ocean liner, you know, you could be on an ocean liner, mission minded. So I've had those kind of dreams too. Okay, keep the main thing the main thing. And why did God give the dreamer the dream? We're going to talk about 20 categories of dreams. And that's also on these cards. These cards are really neat, by the way. These are cards that you can buy from streams. But this card has a lot of the elements on there, and it also has dream categories, which we'll talk about. The other one is 20 top dreams, most common dreams that people have, and that's any people. I mean, not just Christians, but anyone will have certain specific dreams. So these are helpful. But ask, why did God give the dreamer the dream? Maybe it's to intercede. Maybe it's a warning dream. God is warning you. Maybe it's a correction dream. You need to deal with a certain issue in your life, and that's a very good way to be corrected, by the way, is in a dream, so it's not public. I like that. Okay, maybe it's a direction dream. God's giving you a direction. Maybe it's a calling dream. Maybe it's many of you have bathroom dreams. I mean, that's a cleansing dream. You know, God's cleaning you off, taking showers and everything else. That God is cleaning you. All right, how many, don't you all have bathroom dreams? I mean, they're very, very common, very common. No, I used to think, well, it's probably because I have to go. But no, it's not necessarily because of that. It's because of, now I know it's not just because I had to go. It's because, you know, you're being cleansed off. You know, the Lord is showing something to you. If the toilet happens to be in a outside, then God's showing you you're going to be cleaned up in public, you know. So that's, yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Okay. So even, yeah, make notes where the toilet is. You know, maybe if it's at your workplace, God's showing you there's an issue in your workplace that you need to deal with. Okay. Invention dreams, we've talked about that. Prophecy and revelation dreams. Some people will get incredible prophecy dreams. Barbara has one. I had this one gal that called me up just 4 days before the tsunami hit, and I'm telling you, she just had, I was taking 4 or 5 pages of the legal size notes, just notes, and I'm just writing notes, you know, but this dream went on and on and on, but she kept talking about plate shifting and all of this happening, but, okay, then the tsunami hits just a few days later, and headlines, plate shifted, you know, but she was describing what she was seeing. She says, well, it looks like a geode, you know, it looks like, you know, something shifted in the ground, in the earth, and then she actually saw a dragon in the middle of the earth, too. I mean, so it's like, whoa, this dream is incredible. God was giving her a prophetic dream, and God doesn't do anything without revealing it to his prophets. That's in Amos. So you may have really specific prophetic dreams. You may have literal dreams that tell you how to handle something the next day, which I've had, and I didn't realize that's what it was, and I blew it, you know, but we learn. We learn from our dreams. You know, God wanted me to do something, and he said, no, you need to talk to this person, but I went to the administrator instead of the person I was supposed to talk to, and it's like, okay, eventually what God wanted to happen happened, but it would have saved a lot of hassle if I had just talked to the person he told me to talk to, you know, so I didn't quite get it, you know, but I'm learning, and I was like, but God, I thought dreams are metaphorical. Well, sometimes they're literal, you know, they can be literal, so we're all learning, you know, and God's training us. Okay, and we want to simplify things, so try to interpret the dream in 2 to 3 sentences. Okay, and I did get ahead with the dream. Well, and that means not every little detail is going to be significant. I mean, it may be significant to you. I mean, my daughter just calls, or no, she doesn't call me anymore. She emails me her long, long dreams. And, well, Mom, what do you think? You know, is this, you know, is the Lord wanting me to move? You know, is it a directional move? And you have to look at everything in there. But most of them, you know, she remembers everything. And I think it's because, you know, she's younger, a lot younger. It's like, my memory is like, I think it's so full. I don't remember things like she does. But she remembers the color someone's wearing, you know, and to her, every single thing is significant. But, you know, when I'm interpreting the dreams, I'm looking for the main things. Okay, she's riding a bicycle. The bicycle got a flat tire. Okay, what does that mean? Flat tire means what? You're losing air. Okay, what is air? Holy Spirit. Okay, so the ministry is losing the Holy Spirit. And so you have to look at all the context on this. And anyway, we could go on and on with that. Okay, so these are the dream categories, and I already went over some of them, but we'll do the rest of them real quick. So healing is dreams that bring forgiveness and love. It's a dream that helps you understand a person that you didn't like so that you now want to love them. I mean, God is so good about these healing dreams. I mean, the Lord has really healed me in many times in a dream the way I would feel about a certain person. You know, he would just, it's just amazing. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I like that person now. Whereas before, that person really bothered me. You know, so God can do this in a dream. So it's really neat. Okay, flushing dreams. That's dreams that shower off day-to-day spiritual encounters, such as demons of violence, sex, etc. You know, we walk through the world and we can just pick up stuff. So that's what a flushing dream does. It removes the slime that you get from encountering people during the day. If you're observing or the dream is not about you, then it's not a flushing dream. Okay, an example would be you could dream that you kissed your brother on the mouth, removes slime of sexual perversion. Okay, a kiss, by the way, is not always what you think it is. I mean, it could be an act of humility or anointing with a kiss. So we have to look at things metaphorically, too. Okay, calling dreams. That's a dream that reveals a vocation or an anointing. That's what you're called to do. It's revealing a portion of your spiritual destiny. Maybe you've had dreams where you see yourselves on a stage with thousands of people. Okay, so this is what you're called to do. So nothing is impossible with God. So don't just throw the dream out, you know, but it is important. Take note of that. Okay, warning. Warning dream warns you about something that you're doing wrong or neglecting to do. Example, Laban was warned not to speak against Joseph in Genesis 31. Laban was to let Jacob go and leave without keeping him there. Dreams, a warning dream, dream about an old boyfriend or an ex-spouse. That can be bringing up, and you think, I haven't thought of that person in years. I don't have anything to do with that person. But the warning is, I mean, the dream is not necessarily about that person, but it's about an old love that you have in your life that is resurfacing. So that's what's happening in that dream. Okay, the false dream, they call it false dreams or a soul dream. That could be the plans of the enemy. But on this one, like I say, we can flip that. You know, we know that God is bigger than the plans of the enemy, just like the dream that I gave you about my daughter. It was like, I mean, fortunately, I knew this is before I had the training, but at least I knew I'm not going to receive that dream at all, you know, and immediately just pray against that. You do not have to accept a false dream. The enemy would like you very much to come in alignment with his plans, but we don't want to do that. We want to come into alignment with God's plans. So you just flip it. In other words, it's the opposite. What God wants is the opposite of what the enemy wants. Okay, body dreams, this could be from a sickness or pregnancy. In pregnancy, the mother's dreams can commingle with the baby's dreams, and that could actually be a strange result. there can be chemical dreams, you know, maybe, you know, now, you know, Linda and I were talking. I happen to be very sensitive, so if I take something like even a cold capsule or, you know, something that, my dreams can get funny, but, you know, other people can take things and it doesn't bother them at all. So, you know, you just take that into consideration. If you have a really strange dream, maybe it had something to do with some medicine you took. Self-condition. These are very common. God tells you where you stand with him, or he tells you what the problems that need to be addressed. Example, in Genesis 23, Abimelech, you are but a dead man. Okay, so these are self-conditioned dreams, you know. So take note of that. Courage dream, a dream that stirs you up or encourages you to go out. In Genesis 31:10, Jacob was encouraged when he was leaving Laban. The Lord encouraged him with a dream. Okay, correction dream makes corrections, so don't take yourself too seriously. But it's good. It's a great way to be corrected. is in a dream. Okay, direction gives you specific direction, what you may be called to do. Matthew 2:13, Joseph received a dream. We already talked about that, about to go home a different way with Jesus because Herod was no longer trying, he was dead, so he was no longer going to try to kill Jesus. Intercession dreams, dreams that call us to pray for someone else or for distant problems. Okay, prophecy and revelation dreams. They tell you of things that are going to come. That's what we talked about. You know, they could be very specific, like the example of the lady that I gave you that had the whole dream about the tsunami before it happened. It was very, very specific. Okay, dark dreams. These could be scaled or muted color, and this could be a dream of what Satan wants to happen. Okay, when Satan counterfeits God, you know, God is the father of light, so we talked about that. But at best, Satan could not produce the light that God can. So the color is what God wants to do. If you have a mixed dream, you know, it has some dark and some white. The color part is what God wants to do in the midst of what the enemy wants to do. And this is not always, but, you know, muted color could be revealing Satan's plan, but that is not always, because we've seen a lot of exceptions to that. So you just need to know how God speaks to you. Okay, spiritual warfare dreams. This could be attacks against you or others that usually involve some sort of life or death feeling. And very often these are black and white. They happen at night or in the light of or in the light during an eclipse. Interesting, okay. Okay, John Paul Jackson, for 69 nights in a row, he had spiritual warfare dreams. And people were confronting him, soldiers, cowboys, gangs. I mean, so every night he's like fighting battles. And then he realized that he was battling for his church. He was a pastor at the time, so he was battling for his church. So every night, and then finally, it broke, and so his dreams went into light. Okay, fear. Dreams could often reveal a fear that you have. It's often viewed as a nightmare, but a consequence of giving out our fears too much room. So we don't want to give our fears too much room. Fear opened the door to the enemy. Fear says that this thing is greater than God's ability to protect me. After a dream identifies a fear, then we should just speak to the fear. And like I say, don't allow yourself to focus on what you focus on, you empower. So if you're going to focus on the fear or on the dark, you know, then you're going to empower that. So you want to focus on what God's doing. So not, and that's not fear. Okay, invention dreams. We did talk about that. Einstein's theory of relativity actually came through a dream. You know, people that have, artists, you know, Michelangelo, many of his paintings came from a dream. And Handel's Messiah music, you know, that came from a dream too. Words of knowledge, answers to problems in life or at work, that can all come in a dream. Factory workers see bolts and machines causing machine to malfunction. That could be in a dream. And this was used by Edgar Casey to repair a machine. I don't know what machine it was. Okay, deliverance dreams. These are literally removing demons and attacks from your lives. In a dream, someone comes up to you and commands something to come out of you in the name of Jesus, and it comes out. And the deliverance may happen right there in the dream. And you can actually feel it gone. So that's great if it happens right there in the dream. The soul dream. Our personal desires are expressed in a dream. Okay. Should we? Do you? I mean, we could go over a couple of dreams, or do you want to take a break, or what do you? Okay.
So why don't we have you ask some questions, and Dale can answer them. Anybody have any questions or comments, observations? Yeah, let's get you on the mic. So you want to come up? I don't know how far that cord can go.
Well, I had a dream, and then I woke up, and I wrote it down. I went back to sleep and dreamed it all over again.
Great.
So same thing in one night.
Okay, that is called lucid dreaming, and that's a very mature level of dreaming. No. Well, that could be... What? Am I on the mic? Oh, she. That's something that we would actually all like to develop, because especially those negative dreams that you have, we want to be able to change the dreams. So there are ways to try to go back into that dream. I mean, people say, well, even... You know, don't roll over, stay in the same position. It's like, well, I like to roll over. But you can ask God, let me go back into that dream and let me change something. Maybe there's something in the dream that you didn't like and God's dealing with it. I mean, Paul helped me with that one time. It's like, oh, I don't know what to do. These people are in the car and they're not supposed to be in the car. And he says, well, tell them to leave. And it's like, okay, get out of the car. And they left. And it was as simple as that, you know. So in our dream, it would be very, very nice if we could actually do that. You know, if there's something there and you don't want it to be there, just say, get out. And I don't know if any of you have ever had the situation of where you feel like, you know, something's there and you can't even say Jesus, or, you know, because we want to say Jesus. So even if you think it, I truly believe that that's okay. Just say, Jesus, come. And he will be there. He'll give you that peace. So that's good. But that is a mature level of dreaming. And, we all want to get there. We all want to get to that point that we can actually go back into our dreams and be conscious enough about our dreams that we can actually change things in our dreams. So that's lucid dreaming.
Okay, another question. Somebody else or comment? Okay.
Okay, I had a question.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, we just leave it off the table.
I was just wondering, back to this sheet, what's the difference between temporal... Oh, you know what? I know temporal and eternal. Okay, it was just spelled external on the thing. So I got...
Oh.
Okay, I got that one now.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Typo on the back. But this one was correct, she said.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to know, is a theospective, is that just spirit?
Theo means... in
God.
Oh. Theo means God in Greek, and spect means to see. So theospective means seeing it from God's perspective. Intro would be looking at the inward self, and it's looking at things from self-perspective.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this morning, for what you're teaching us, and Lord, what you're developing in us. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your guidance. Heavenly Father, we worship you and praise your name. Lord, just ask you to bless our lunchtime together in our fellowship. In your name we pray. Amen.